Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're going to be hearing a little clip here from, well, it's a Senate hearing when they went after Clarence Thomas with totally, completely false charges. Every one of those charges were proven to be absolutely false and lie. But that's exactly what the Democrats do the best, is lie. So go ahead and play that clip.
Senator Cornyn.
I'd like to go to the video, please.
Committee will please come to order. Judge, it's a tough day and a tough night for you, I know. Let me ask, do you have anything you'd like to say before we begin? I understand that your preference is, which is totally and completely understandable, that we go 1 hour tonight, 30 minutes on each side. Am I correct in that?
That's right.
Do you have anything you'd like to say?
Senator, I would like to start by saying unequivocally, uncategorically, that I deny each and every single allegation against me today that suggested in any way that I had conversations of a sexual nature or about pornographic material with Anita Hill, that I ever attempted to date her, that I ever had any personal sexual interest in her, or that I in any way ever harassed her. A second, and I think more important point, I think that this today is a travesty. I think that it is disgusting. I think that this hearing should never occur in America. This is a case in which this sleaze, this dirt, was searched for by staffers of members of this committee, was then leaked to the media, and this committee and this body validated it and displayed it to the entire nation. How would any member on this committee, any person in this room, or any person in this country would like sleaze said about him or her in this fashion, or this dirt dredged up in this gossip and these lies displayed in this manner? How would any person like it? The Supreme Court is not worth it. No job is worth it. I'm not here for that. I'm here for my name, my family, my life, and my integrity. I think something is dreadfully wrong with this country when any person in this free country would be subjected to this. This is not a closed room. There was an FBI investigation. This is not an opportunity to talk about difficult matters privately or in a closed environment. This is a circus. It's a national disgrace. And from my standpoint, as a black American, as far as I'm concerned, it is a high-tech lynching.
Senator, that was 32.
All right. There you go. That was Clarence Thomas. Now, that was Joe Biden was the one that was heading that. And believe me, folks, you know, Joe Biden says if you don't vote for him, you're not black. Okay, well, yeah, but I mean, and here's a guy that was that went from Ku Klux Klan to all of a sudden he wants to be, you know, he wants to be. Joe will probably remember the days when he was black, right? I wouldn't doubt it. But these people, it's an amazing, like, for example, Peter. These women now that are coming out of the woodwork that are being set up by the very completely and totally absolute corrupt Democratic Party, that the completely corrupt Democratic Party, this woman comes out, right, and she says, I don't know, 17 years ago or something, way many years ago, Trump raped her. But now, here, Peter, she's in a lingerie store. And in this store, she says Donald Trump comes in and he goes and he just goes ahead and rapes her. But she didn't say anything. She just, you know, she didn't cry out for help or anything. Now, there was another woman who came out. She said, after listening to her story, saying, first of all, I go into that store. And she said it would be impossible for him to pull her into one of those little changing rooms because they're very, very small changing rooms. And she said that would be impossible. And not only that, but now think about this, Peter. Have you ever seen a woman who's getting raped in a store and she's confused about what's happening and she doesn't bother to cry out? Have you ever heard of anything like that?
No, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. But that's exactly what they're coming out now. And these people in the fake news media, they are so disgusting. They are absolutely disgusting.
Well, you know, when in college, you know, we took a debate course, right, how to debate. And one of the things they teach you in debating is that when you're losing the debate and the facts are not working in your favor, what you do is called an ad hominem attack, which is you just attack the person that you're debating. You attack their character. You completely abandon the facts and you go after their character when the facts don't support what you're doing. And that's what they're doing. It's ad hominem attacks against the character of people that they don't like because they don't have any facts to back them up.
Well, you're right. And when you get into a debate, the most important thing is to realize whoever frames the debate wins the debate. You never use their terminology. You don't use their language of illusion that they invent. So this is why I've never lost a debate. I've debated out there against the pro-death. I will not use their terminology. I will never use the word pro-choice. It's pro-death. I never use the term anti-abortion. It's pro-life. You never use the word a product of conception. It's a child. I go after them big time, and that's why I've never lost a debate with them.
You're the man. That's why you continue to be the man, and I want to be just like you when I grow up.
All right. You stick at it, son. You'll get there. All righty. I got two books here. One of them is called Attempt to Cure, the Holistic Medicine, and a cautionary tale regarding the Machiavellian monopolization of the medical marketplace by the MDs and Big Pharma. And the other one is Everybody is Sick and I Know Why. Give us just a fast rundown on these two books because we haven't really talked about them much in a while.
Well, yeah, so you have the books, and people can get either one of them for a donation to the show, or you can get a package deal to get both of them. The first book, Everybody is Sick and I Know Why, gives people a quick overview of the evolution of medicine in the United States, and it enlightens people as to the philosophical differences between the MD methodology and the holistic methodology. It kind of brings people up to speed. Well, these are the things that the medical doctors are really good for. These are the things that they're really bad for. These are the thing that the naturopathic doctors and the homeopaths are really good for. And these are the things that they're bad for. And you should know these things before you get sick, because once you're sick, you're scared. And because of the medical monopoly, I mean, you're sick. You go to the hospital, it's a one-trick pony. You have medical doctor A, medical doctor B, or medical doctor C. You don't have access to Ayurvedic medicine. You don't have access to acupuncture. You don't have access to naturopathy. You don't have access to homeopathy. You don't have access to anything except the pharmaceutical method, which is good for you sometimes. But also, it's the leading cause of death in the United States and the leading cause of bankruptcy. And it's a failed methodology because it doesn't heal things. It doesn't bring people into a state of health. And so I just line these things up in a real easy, fun way to understand. You know, this book, as far as I'm concerned, should be everybody in high school, should be mandatory reading in high school to give people an understanding of the medical market that exists in the country today. The second book, Attempt a Cure with Holistic Medicine, picks up where the first book leaves off as far as the philosophy goes, and I get into it a little bit more with what the MDs are good at and what the naturopaths are good at, and I take kind of a deeper dive into that. But the meat and potatoes of the Attempt to Cure book are protocols that I've seen be effective for over 88 different ailments. So if you've got, you know, arthritis, you go to the chapter on arthritis, and here's what I tell you to do. You should do that for 90 days and see if it helps you to get on the other side of it. It's the first step by way of self-help health recovery in order for you to attempt to rally your body's ability to fix itself. Because, I mean, you know, right now in the United States of America, there are approximately 300 naturopathic doctors that I would feel comfortable referring friends and family members to. 300. There's 300 million people in this country, more, quite frankly, so there simply aren't enough doctors like myself to go around. So I wrote the Attempt to Cure book to help to fill that void. So if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired and you've headed up to here with conventional medicine and you're looking for alternatives, which are science-based, clinically verified, developed and delivered by licensed physicians, and then this is just what the doctor ordered. It's a fun book to read. It's informative, and it will kind of help you sleep easier at night, because knowing that there's stuff that you can do on your own in order to rally your body's built-in God-given ability to fix itself. And this, of course, is the naturopathic imperative. This is our fundamental foundation belief that the human body is inhabited by an intelligent spirit. It is the intelligent spirit which is running the show. The reason that the body decays when you die, because Elvis has left the building, and it was the spirit that was keeping everything running. And so your body has an inherent spiritual intelligence. Your body is so smart, it grew itself all by itself from a tiny cell into you. And right now it's orchestrating millions of biochemical processes all beyond your conscious control. Right now, every minute of every day, your body knows how to fix itself. Your body wants to fix itself. Your body's trying to fix itself. And therefore, it becomes the holistic physician's, the naturopathic physician's sacred obligation to develop and deliver therapeutics that support the body's ability to fix itself. I mean, that's a good thing to do. That's what most people think that their medical doctors have been trained to do, but they haven't. And more's the pity. So these two books are kind of a wake-up call to get people, you know, bring people into the light of the holistic method.
Well, recently, my body apparently has gone on strike because it's not cooperating. You didn't know this, but I had a bad bout with hay fever, and then that morphed into pneumonia. And I'm on the tail end of that pneumonia right now, but
well, you should have called me. I could have helped you quite a bit with that. So the next time anything like that happens, Pastor, just get in touch with me. Reach out, because there's stuff that you can do. It's really effective. You know, you don't need I don't need to fly to Ohio to visit you in your office. We can do it all virtually, and I can bring you right up to speed with stuff that you can do to get on the other side of this. A funny story. I had a friend of mine. He was one of the teachers of homeopathic medicine at the naturopathic medical school that I went to in Seattle. He was one of the instructors of homeopathy. And about 7 years ago, he himself was living in Boulder, Colorado, and he got pneumonia really, 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 really bad. And he was in the hospital dying from pneumonia because he was unresponsive to conventional treatment. Now, as fate would have it, there was another colleague of mine who is also a very good he's a naturopathic doctor, but he specializes in homeopathy. He teaches homeopathy all over the world. He's written books on it. He's very good at it. He happened to be in Boulder, Colorado, at attending a sporting event that his son was in. I think it was an ultimate frisbee contest in Boulder, Colorado. His son was playing in an ultimate frisbee contest. He found himself in Boulder, Colorado. Somebody told him that this other guy was in the hospital, like right across the street from where the competition was. So he went to see him, and he treated him with homeopathic medicine and cured him. And you know, the stars aligned and God stepped in. So that's a really long-winded way of saying this medicine. Look, if you are in an automobile accident, you got a bullet in your leg, or, you know, you got a bleeding artery or a triple compound fracture of your femur, then you don't want to come to see me. But if you've got pneumonia, I should be the first person that you call. So just
all right. I'll remember that. And so here, what I did was, you know, I'm prepared like we did for the COVID thing. I took the ivermectin, I took the vitamin D3, the zinc, and the vitamin C, and I did some elderberry, some real strong elderberry extract, and that's basically what I did. And I got, well, I got through it, but I mean...
Excellent. Well, good for you.
But I was right.
Next time, call me, or you know,
alrighty.
Or we're gonna have a problem.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I was just wondering. You know how, like, if today, if you're a Democrat, if you feel like you're a woman, you can be a woman if you're feeling that way for that day. And that, I'm just wondering why that, if we can't like feel that we're healthy when we're sick and. But it don't
well, there
seem
is a lot to say. There is a lot to say with mind over matter. There's a lot to say with mind over matter. And there's a lot to say with hands-on spiritual healing as well. I think hands-on spiritual healing is one of the most powerful healing methods on the planet. And conventional medicine, you know, this is something that nobody ever talks about except me. And here's the deal, because somebody's philosophy informs what they do. Right? Christians do what they do because of their philosophy. Buddhists do what they do because of their philosophy, and so forth and so on. Well, the same exists in the scientific community. So medical doctors are brought up inside of a reductionistic philosophy, which is based upon the physics of Sir Isaac Newton, Newtonian physics. And Newtonian physics argues that if it can't be measured, it doesn't exist. So since nobody's ever measured the spirit or the soul, or God, or angels, or life after death, or heaven, and none of that exists. It's all a fiction. It doesn't exist. To the medical doctor, the human body is a bag of biochemicals waiting to break. There's no such thing as the spirit. There's no such thing as the soul. There's no such thing as life after death. These are all fictions. They are taught that consciousness itself is a function of biochemistry. And it's because of this kind of juvenile methodology, juvenile philosophy regarding the nature of the human body, the medical doctors have been taught incorrectly, and they've thrown the baby out with the bathwater. And this is why their therapeutics for chronic disease don't work. And it's also why their therapeutics for trauma care, military field medicine, the complications of childbirth and surgery when it's necessary, that's where they shine. Because those things are the epitome of reductionism. I mean, you got a bullet in your arm, heaven forbid, that doesn't get any more reductionistic than that. So that's where that type of medicine is good. But for most of the conditions that most people go to the doctor for most of the time, things like high blood pressure and insomnia and heartburn and anxiety and depression and arthritis and all these things, it's the wrong dog for the hunt. Their medicine cannot affect a cure because it's atheistic and in as much it's inconsistent with the reality of the human experience, and that's a problem. But you know, in a perfect world we would be doing a lot of scientific investigation in spiritual healing, because it's a really powerful thing.
So when you talk about mind over matter, and we bring that down to an individual, there now, some individuals have a lot of mind, but little matter. Okay, others have a lot of matter, but very little minds. I've noticed.
Well, this is what we talk about in holistic medicine. We talk about having a balance between everything, right? We need to have a healthy, mature balance between the spirit, the mind, and the body. And very few people do that because, and you know, for instance, if you want to see how a pragmatic example of that, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to, on tomorrow, if you're in the listening audience and you want to do an in-house experiment, all I want you to do tomorrow is I want you to drink a cup of coffee at 9 o'clock in the morning, a cup of coffee at noon, a cup of coffee at 3 o'clock, a cup of coffee at 6 p.m., and the only thing I want you to eat all day is a tablespoon of sugar five times a day. Just a tablespoon of sugar. All I want you to have tomorrow is a tablespoon of white refined sugar five times a day and coffee. That's it. See how that makes you feel. See what that does to your mind. See what that does to your mood. See what that does to your emotions. See what that does to your body. It's going to mess you up. Because food, what we put into the body, has a dramatic effect on the mind and the emotion, and also on the physicality. I mean, most people are eating foods that they're allergic to or that they have an intolerance to. They don't even know that they're doing it. And so every time they eat that food, they're creating inflammation. And they wonder why their arthritis won't go away. They wonder why their eczema won't go away. They wonder why the heartburn never goes away. Well, it's because they're putting diesel fuel into an unleaded engine every day, three, four times a day. And it's not their fault. They just didn't know any better because their medical doctors were not trained in any of this. And there's only me and like two other guys and Sherry Tenpenny in the public forum who are talking about this. And so, you know, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge.
And well, here's what we're going to do, Peter. We're going to open the phone lines coast to coast and give you a shot at healing the nations now. First of all, let me ask you this, okay? Borderline diabetic. So you're borderline diabetic, and sometimes you're considered, you're diagnosed as being diabetic, but then a week later you're not. So what do you do if you're borderline diabetic to stay under the border?
Well, yeah, okay. So you have to just follow the science. In 1956, there was a medical doctor, an MD, by the name of Mertz, M-E-R-T-Z, and he discovered something called the glucose tolerance factor, which is regulated by chromium in the body. So if your body starts having trouble metabolizing sugar, which is what happens in type 2 diabetes, or when you're pre-diabetic, or when you have full-blown type 2 diabetes or syndrome X, it's not because there's too much sugar in your body, but it's because your body has run out of the raw materials that it needs to manage the sugar. And most people don't know this, but your DNA is made from sugar. Sugar is not the Antichrist. We've been told that it is, but it's not. I mean, you can make the argument that we eat way too much sugar in this country, and you'd be correct. But more important than the amount of sugar that we eat is, does your body have the minerals necessary to manage the sugar the way that God intended it? And the answer is no, because the body can't make those minerals. Those minerals have to be imported into the body. The only person that can make a mineral is God. And the minerals are either in the soil that the food is growing in, or they're not. And let me tell you something, they're not. And when you spray herbicides on the plant, the minerals that are in the soil have a really difficult time getting up into the plant. And so as a nation, over the last 100 years, we have become more and more and more demineralized. And this is different conversation. This is not about calories. It's not about vitamins. It's not about amino acids. It's not about antioxidants. It's about minerals, things like calcium and sulfur and zinc and selenium. And in the case of type 2 diabetes or pre-type 2 diabetes.
Let me give the number out real quick. It's Number is 888-677-9673. Folks, the phone lines are now open. If you have a question or a concerning diabetes or whatever, this guy's brilliant. Just ask him. No, we got Dr.
Well,
Peter.
Well, I don't know how brilliant I am, but, you know, I've been doing it for 34 years, Pastor. And
I know one thing. I know when you're here, the phone lines light up like, you know,
well,
all across the board.
I'm the only one talking about it, you know, and I sometimes I feel like John the Baptist, honestly. But nonetheless, so you need chromium in this case. But remember, the body is a holistic organism. And as it turns out, there are 90 essential nutrients that the human body needs in order to function appropriately, and chromium is one of them. So you get much more bang for your buck if you take all 90 essential nutrients than if you just take a chromium supplement. So if you're on the borderline with type 2 diabetes, or you actually have full-blown type 2 diabetes, then the recommendation is something that's called the Healthy Foundation Pack, which gives you all 90 essential nutrients. Then we would add a supplement that has extra chromium on top of that, and that's called Sweeties, Sweetese. And you can purchase these supplements at Eiffel Health, Eiffel like the tower, E-I-F-F-E-L, health.com, EiffelHealth.com. You can give them a call at 888-618-1796. That's 888-618-1796. You have to give your body the stuff it needs to function optimally. It's really that simple. That's the first step in your health recovery journey.
All right, very good. 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you have a question or a comment about attempt a cure, give us a call here, and we got the experts here tonight with us. So, all right, Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah, before I get to my question, in terms of the media suppression, there's a guy on the Sergeant Reports podcast, episode 531, from Canada, a doctor, and he's saying that he has a Substack. He's saying he's getting reports of thousands of teenagers dropping dead in Canada, and things like brain bleeds, leukemia that kills them within the week, heart attacks, strokes. And he blames it on the shot, but he's saying that they're not doing autopsies on them, and they should be to hone in on exactly what happened. So you can look at that. But my question is on self-care for an athlete. You know, I know you mentioned Theo Ratliff, but I remember Michael Phelps. Yeah, Michael Phelps, for example, like was, you know, winning those gold medals by a fraction of a second. And then after he did that second round of those gold medals, he shows up smoking marijuana in a bong. So what would you say, like mentally, physically, for an elite athlete, for self-care, and how to avoid, like, you know, going into almost like a behavior that where he's almost sabotaging his athleticism?
Yeah, so that's a great point, and it's a great question. And you know, everybody's body, nobody gets off this hook. Everybody needs the 90 essential nutrients. And if you are an athlete who is working your body hard every day, 8 hours a day, training, stressing, exerting, lifting weight, stressing your cardiovascular system, stressing your muscles, stressing your bones, then your body needs more. It needs more nutrients. So we dose athletes' medical nutrition differently than the medical nutrition for somebody who's not an athlete, because we just have to give them more. And there's other stuff that they need that the average, you know, Joe doesn't need. I mean, I would love to treat Tiger Woods. I mean, Tiger Woods broke his knee swinging a golf club. And he didn't do that because he was swinging the golf club hard. He did that because his knee ran out of the nutrients it needed to maintain its structural integrity. I don't know how many surgeries that guy's had on his back. but the surgeries are never, ever going to fix the fundamental weakness. They're never going to do it.
Peter, hold it right there for a minute. We'll be back right after this.
Golden Tate, he made the ground, the mountains high and the earth round.
And I saw God become a man and hung upon a cross by love.
The Ancient of Days came to teach us his ways.
Give him all your love, give him all your praise.
Hanging on a cross there, he took my place because of love.
Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.
Some men are like me, don't question or doubt.
Strengthen their faith day in and day out.
Sins all forgiven, all blotted out. Called love. Then I see how I've been blessed.
Got a home in heaven, the very best.
Then I know by God this world was blessed by a man called love.
Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man. Strong enough to change the heart of any man, this man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love. Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.
Alrighty, we are back. And there you go. That's called Potentate. And that was...
You're going to get an Emmy for that one, Pastor. You're going to get an Emmy for that one.
That was the real Joe Clark and yours truly, old Pastor Ernie. Alrighty, we have got Alisa. Alisa, you're in the air.
Yes, hi. My name is Lisa. I'm from New York. I'm calling. I have eczema really bad since I was 4 years old, bleeding and dripping and oozing. I'm 60 now, always suffered with eczema. I got Dupixent. My job wouldn't pay for it because it's hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, and the copay is like $30,000 a year. And I couldn't afford that. And so they put me in a program where I can get it for free, so I'm paying for nothing, and it comes in a box with ice all around it and this injection to fix it. And I don't want to be on this for the rest of my life. It did stop the scratching all through the night with shedded skin all over my bed, just scratching, oozing under my desk when I go to work, legs bleeding under my pants. Dripping down my leg. So it did stop that, absolutely stopped it. But I know I can't be on this for the rest of my life. And I know the situation in this day and time that we're in, I don't even trust to be on it for the rest of my life. So I don't know what else to do.
Well, this is a complicated situation because you've had this for so long and it's pretty extreme. You may need a private appointment with someone like myself to get on the other side of this. But I can tell you what to do to start for eight weeks, 2 months. Here's what you have to do. You ready to write this down?
Yeah, I'm writing as you talk, yeah.
All right, very good. So, number one, you have to stop eating everything made from whole wheat. You can't have wheat anymore. Nothing made from wheat. You have to go gluten-free. No more wheat, no more barley, no more rye, no more oats.
I know that. I do know that.
Well, you got to do it, though. You have to do it. You have stop eating those foods because they're going to hurt you. Don't even have don't even look at those foods. Don't even be downwind of those foods, number one. Number two, go to Costco, get a good fish oil supplement. Take, how much do you weigh, by the way?
I'm 5'6", 250.
Okay, so I want you to take, actually, I don't want you to go to Costco because you can save money by getting them at Eiffel Health. So give the people at Eiffel Health a call, 888-618-4796. Order one healthy foundation pack.
I didn't hit it. 888-618-1796.
Order one healthy foundation pack and two extra bottles of the omegas. Two extra bottles of the omegas. And they'll tell you how to take it with the good people at Eiffel Health. They'll tell you how to take it. But that's what I would do for the first 8 weeks.
No gluten and that pack, the healthy foundation pack.
Foundation pack plus two extra omegas. Plus two extra omegas. Do that for 8 weeks and see what happens.
What about sugar? I am a sugar holic.
Okay, the main reason that people crave sugar is because their bodies are deficient in protein. So every time you eat a meal, half of what's on your plate should be protein. So fish, meat, chicken, cheese, rice and beans, nuts, eggs. You need to be eating a lot of protein every day.
We have to move on, Lisa, because the whole board's lit. And Pastor Hal is trying to call in their style. So keep your eyes open for Pastor Hal's call and make sure, because he's having a hard time getting through. So Pastor Hal, I know if you're listening, keep calling. You'll make it through. Let's go to Connie. Connie, you're in the air.
Hi, Doctor. I'm 64 years old. I'm in good health, and I've been working on getting better. I quit eating bread a year ago, and I walk every day, but I still have this mild anxiety. What do you recommend for that?
Calcium. The first thing to consider with mild anxiety is it's a simple calcium and magnesium deficiency. Could be due to adrenal exhaustion.
I'm taking supplements for a long time of calcium and magnesium, but maybe I'm not taking the right one.
Yeah, so in my first book, Everybody is Sick and I Know Why, I wrote extensively about this. And if you were to try to fulfill your body's calcium needs with an over-the-counter calcium supplement, you would need approximately 30 capsules a day.
And there's
like 60 capsules in the bottle, and most people take one or two a day. So most of the calcium supplements that are available over-the-counter just are simply not, they're simply not worth it. Single best calcium supplement in the world, and I've been doing this for 34 years, and I don't make any money from the sale of these supplements, by the way, is the Beyond Osteo FX that's included in the, it's found in the foundation pack. It's a big deal. Calcium is a big part of the body's nutrient needs. But if you get the foundation pack, you get the calcium as part of it. And so that's what I would do just for 1 month. I would do the healthy foundation pack and see if that doesn't, take the edge off of your low-grade anxiety.
I'll do it. Thank you very much.
All right. Best of luck. Please call us back and tell us what happened. Please do that.
All righty. Who did you say we had there? Rita and out in New York. Rita, you're in the air.
Oh, good evening, Pastor Sanders. I hope that God blesses you with health. And Dr. Peter, so good to hear your voice. Doctor, my sister, she's 76 years old, and she has a myriad of medical challenges. Unfortunately, she's taken 4 of these Fauci injections, and within the last month or so, her body is having trouble with her hemoglobin. It's down in the basement, and it's really, really tough on her. She's getting exhausted, and she was given an iron infusion. But I'm wondering, what can we do for her from your side as a medical spectrum?
That's not going to do it. So we need a time machine, go back in time, and have her not take any of the vaccines, right?
Please, would that be so? Yeah. Thank you.
But when we're talking about red blood cell production, which we are talking about when we're talking about anemia and hemoglobin,
mm-hmm.
we have to make sure that the part of the body that makes the red blood cells is healthy. And the part of the body that makes red blood cells is the bone marrow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting, but we treat things like this, that we upregulate red blood cell production the same way that we treat arthritis, by making the bones healthy. Because when we make the bones healthy, we make the bone marrow healthy. And when we make the bone marrow healthy, the body can make red blood cells as many as it wants.
Mm-hmm.
So the recommendation for your sister would be something called the Healthy Bone and Joint Pack.
Okay.
Healthy Bone and Joint Pack, and you can get that at Eiffel Health, EiffelHealth.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. Thank you so much, gentlemen, and God be with you both. Thank you.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much.
Appreciate
God bless you.
Thanks.
Alrighty. Who do we have there next? Let's go to Connecticut, and we have Liz out there in Connecticut. Hey, Liz.
Yes, hello.
Hello, you're in the air. Go ahead.
Yes, hello, Dr. Glendon. I was calling to find out what you recommend for high blood pressure. The systolic is usually 135 to 40, and the diastolic is always 65 to 70.
You don't have high blood pressure then. And medical doctors have sold people a false bill of goods. You only are clinically diagnosed with hypertension if the top number is over 140 and the bottom number is over 90 three times in a row.
No, I never get it 3 times in a row. It's intermittent. Sometimes it's 135, 140, but the lower number is always between 60 and 70.
Yeah, so you don't have high blood pressure. You don't have it. Now, you might be considered borderline hypertensive, and you might be able to sell me on that.
So but what can I do to help me work
yeah,
on that?
Yeah, so you need calcium and magnesium, because your body, the arteries in your body have muscles in them, and they constrict and relax to help the heart pump blood.
Yes.
But the muscles need calcium and magnesium to constrict and relax. If they don't have enough of those, they will constrict, but they won't relax. And when they constrict, it's just like squeezing a garden hose a little bit. The water comes out fast because you've increased the pressure.
So should I try Nike Essential?
Yeah, so you need what I would do is mm-hmm. one foundation pack.
One foundation pack. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, plus one extra bottle of the liquid calcium.
Okay.
And do that for 8 weeks and take your blood pressure. By the way,
don't do the 90 essentials?
Yeah, that'll give you the 90 essentials. That's why it's called the Healthy Foundation Pack.
Because it gives you everything you need.
Right? Right.
Yes, thank you so much.
By the way, the best time to take your blood pressure is between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m.
Yes.
And you take your blood pressure 3 times in a row, and you only pay attention to the third and final reading.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I'll get on it and let you know how it goes.
All right, good luck.
All right, we have time for one more call before Pastor Hal. Okay, well, let's just go. Well, no, we don't. Let's just go to Pastor Hal. Pastor Hal, you're in the air. Listen, Peter's telling people how to get healthy, and you got to tell them how to get to heaven and avoid. You don't want to spend eternity with a bunch of Democrats, do you?
So, that's for sure. I was reading in Proverbs 14:34 where it says, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And our righteousness is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's when once we turned our back on him years ago, kicking God and prayer out of schools and taking away the Ten Commandments and everything else. We just degenerated into acting worse than beasts with glorifying abominations and everything. We've gone insane as a nation, and the only thing that's going to save us is true repentance on an individual level and a national level. But Jesus Christ is the only one that can save our souls from hell, and God is a God of righteousness just as much as he is a God of love. His righteousness demands that sin be paid for, because he can't let sin into heaven, or else, you know, it'd be just like America up there. Is, you know, with all the abominations and stuff. But when Jesus went to the cross, God was allowing him to pay the payment, that righteous payment that had to be paid in full on our behalf. And right before Jesus died, he said three words, "It is finished," which means all the work necessary for you and I to be saved was done by Jesus and accepted by God the Father. But that payment don't become ours automatically. Luke 13:3 says, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Repentance is admitting something to God he knows already anyway. And without Jesus Christ in our hearts, without that payment he paid for us on Calvary, we're lost and on our road to hell. And when you go to Jesus, sorry about the fact you're a sinner, and you ask him to come into your heart and save you, he'll do it. John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." That means you don't go to heaven by praying to any of the saints, so-called saints that went on before you. You don't get to heaven by being a good church member. You don't get to heaven by reforming your ways. You get to heaven by receiving Jesus as your Savior. Because when he shed his blood on that cross, the Bible says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood." It's not through water baptism, the city water system, and everything else. It's through his blood. And that takes place the instant you sincerely ask Jesus to come into your heart. Right then and there, God's Holy Spirit comes into your soul and gives you spiritual birth into the kingdom of God, makes you a new creature in Christ, and gives you eternal life. And that's the only way you're going to get to heaven. So if you believe that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to save your soul, and you want to receive that payment, Ephesians 2:8-9 says it's a free gift. It's a gift to you. Jesus did all the work. So right now he stands at the door of your heart, and he's knocking, but only you can open up that door and let him come in. So if you want to do that, Bible says do it through prayer. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So I'd like to lead you in a simple prayer of faith, if I may. But even though we're praying together, it'd be directly between you and God, where you tell God you're sorry about the fact you're a sinner and you want that payment Jesus paid for you on the cross, and you're trusting Jesus and him only for your salvation. Now let's pray if you want to do that. Oh, dear God, please forgive me, a sinner. I believe that you died on the cross, Lord Jesus, and shed your blood to save my soul. And I here and now ask you to come into my heart, forgive me of all my sins, and give me eternal life and a home in heaven with you forever and ever. In Jesus' name, I pray this. Amen. Now, 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." Believe on meant that you received him as your Savior. It means more than just believe about. And believe on is you received him, which you just did if you sincerely prayed that prayer, that you may know you have eternal life. Not that you may think it, wish it, or hope for it, but that you may know. How do you know? Because God made you that promise, and God cannot lie. So if you prayed that prayer, we'll see you in heaven. Go ahead, Pastor.
All righty. Very good. I gave you extra time tonight.
Good.
So there you go. But very, very good. Yeah, I don't know anyone, like I said, that's ever regretted getting saved. I don't think there's... Yeah, you know what, Peter? I'll bet you don't get... There's not one person that was ever disappointed about getting to heaven. But, I can tell you there's a whole lot that wish they weren't in the other place, huh? That's what's happening out there. You know, I preached on last week, you know, when we preached on the end times, the times of sorrows, and we took a look at everything's falling in place. We're watching it live time. Going back, looking at all the prophecies, and then we see them fulfilled before our eyes. And I was watching, you know, and they had in Baltimore over the weekend, not Baltimore, in Boston, Massachusetts, they had SatanCon, where they were supposedly had the largest gathering of Satanists in the world. And did you guys see that by chance?
No, I've heard about it.
Yeah, well, I was watching it, and... one of their so-called leaders, he gets up and he says, "Well, we don't really believe in a devil or Satan, and we don't believe in God, okay? Now, this guy here, he fits right into the title of this week's message. It's called, You Are His Kind of a Fool. You are his kind of a fool. First of all, the Bible says, a fool says within his heart, there is no God. So there puts you right there. But Satan couldn't have it any better than to have people think he doesn't exist. I mean, can you imagine that? Okay.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's happening out there today. We are, Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed. They're destroyed for lack of knowledge, and because of we have biblical illiteracy out there. And it goes back to the pulpit. And, you know, I've been saying this for years and years. And, in fact, I want to read something very quickly. And, folks, if you're not in a church where you have a bold pastor that is bold and preaching the gospel, you need to get out of there and find one. Your time is running out. But you remember that fellow named Charles Finney. He started a college here at one time, not far from here, Oberlin. And I'm afraid she would not be very happy if he saw it today. But he said this in 1873, if there is a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discernment, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate, worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in Christianity, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in the halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, well, the pulpit is responsible for it. There you go. It says a lot, and that's where we're at here today.
From your lips to God's ears, Pastor.
Yep, but God is on the throne. He is in complete control. And, you know, Peter, he's told us exactly what we have to do in 2 Chronicles 7:14 to bring America back to one nation under God. He told us it's not that complicated. But you know what? The problem with it is the vast majority of the people out there don't know it. And as much as we preach, they're not heading to the Word of God. They're going everywhere but to where the answer is. So with that, we're out of time for tonight. We get to this point every night. Thanks for having you here. And Pastor Hal, thanks for that good prayer.
Okay.
But as we say at this time, every night, good night. God bless. And ready? Always, always, always. Let's get it done right.
Keep
fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.